At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
It's fascinating. Bunk beds brought up in that one. I didn't have the bell. I should bring the bunk bed bell over. I used to have that where every time a bunk bed was brought up on this program, we'd ring the bell.
I have one of those bunk bed bells.
Yes. Way. Because it is such a thing that has been brought up over the years in ghost stories. And it's crazy how many times you would think it was, you know, like some sort of religious relic or something. The amount of times that bunk beds are brought up.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It all goes back in time. For me, anyway, to an old episode of Unsolved Mysteries back in, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s when this thing aired. And it was a story that took place in a town that was very close to where we grew up in Wisconsin. This took place in Horicon, Wisconsin. And it was a story of a family that gets a bunk bed and then really strange things start happening in their house. And eventually they get rid of the bunk bed. And the whole lesson in the story is they had a haunted bunk bed. And when I started doing ghost stories then about 12, 13 years ago, regularly, this is Unsolved Mysteries is still a long time before that. We started getting all those damn bunk bed stories. And it was so
many of them.
So strange. Do you remember this episode, Todd, from
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Of course, because we grew up in the same area. So it rung true. Like, oh, holy shit. And every time you go through Horicon, like, there's the bunk bed house. Where is the bunk bed house? So here it is. This is the episode of Unsolved Mysteries, Robert Stack and all. This is called Tallman's Ghost. This is the original, starting anyway, of bunk bed horror. Check it out.
In early February of 1987, Alan and Debbie Tallman brought home a bunk bed they had purchased at a secondhand furniture shop.
You got that, partner?
They assembled the bed and stored it in their basement.
That's right, didn't we?
Look at that. When the bunk bed was moved upstairs, it marked the beginning of 9 months of horror for the Tallmans. From the moment the bed was first slept in, the house appeared to be haunted by spirits that terrorized first the children, then the entire family.
You're getting so big for Daddy.
I was afraid for my life. I also was very afraid for my family. I had visions of coming home from work and actually seeing my family destroyed, brutally murdered or just laying there dead.
The house where the Tallmans lived had no known history of hauntings, and the Tallmans had never in their lives given ghosts a second thought. They are regular churchgoers. Debbie is a housewife and mother, and Alan is shift supervisor in a manufacturing plant.
The episode he did on the Queen Mary.
Responsible citizens, but their paranormal experiences have left them deeply scarred. They ask that actors portray them in this story, and that their children's real names not be used. The Tallmans feel they were in a battle with forces they do not understand, a battle they were destined to lose. Oricon, Wisconsin is a small farming town of 3,800 people. It is a safe and prosperous place, hardly the spot one would expect to have a terrifying encounter with the supernatural. All the scenes that we recreated were filmed in this house, the very place where the Tallmans had their uncanny meeting with the world of spirits. The Tallman family moved into the house on April 13th, 1986.
Well, yeah, it was our dream house because, you know, it was something that we figured we were going to be there for a long time, you know, and it was a dream house.
Oh, are you feeling any better?
Within weeks, the Tallman children, who had rarely been sick, began to fall ill.
Can you just put that in there just a little bit longer, honey?
After we moved into the house, it seemed like our children were sick all the time. We had them into the doctor's office. Sometimes I would have all three of them in a week.
In late May of 1987, Debbie and Alan moved the bunk bed they had bought upstairs. That night, the Tallman's son, Danny, was sleeping in the room next door to the bunk bed.
They're listening to Y96.
The bedrooms had been rearranged, and Danny had inherited his parents' old clock radio. On this night, the radio seemed to take on a life of its own.
Lucky day calendar number.
My son, he came running out in the living room, and he says, "But Mom and Dad," he says, "I seen it. It the dial moved." He said the indicator went from one side to the radio to the other. And we kind of looked at each other and says, "Well, if you're going to have a fit with the radio and cause this kind of ruckus, we'll just take the radio out, you know, because that stuff just does not happen."
Typical 80s dad.
A few weeks later, Alan Tallman himself had an experience he could not explain. He was busy painting the walls in his basement, but decided to take a break.
In the dark, he's painting the walls.
My wife called me up for dinner, so I just laid the brush and I was going to return after I ate my lunch. And after dinner time was over, I went downstairs, down cellar.
Back to the fog.
And the brush was in the paint pail with the bristles sticking up right in the paint pail.
That's where your camera's going to be, Carol.
I figured there was something strange why this happened, why the brush got into the paint pail, but I wouldn't accept that my house was haunted.
But with eyes.
The Tallman's 2-year-old daughter was sleeping in the bunk bed. She began to see things in her room. Bed.
At one time, my daughter had talked about a witch behind her door and the fire. A lot of it was fire, and we had never mentioned it to our son at all. And then probably about a month later, he had said, "Mom, I saw an old lady standing by my door." And he said that she glowed like fire. At this point, I began to think that our house was probably haunted.
Sit down and let's talk all this out here.
The Tallmans were desperate. They turned to their family pastor. He felt the presence of evil in the house and thought they might be the victims of the devil.
I'd known them about a year and a half when they called me to come and visit with them about what was going on in the house.
Is this normal?
I believe that my initial analysis of the entity being in the spiritual realm, the occult realm, the demonic, if you will, was accurate. And I still believe it's accurate.
The Tallmans claim they never had a moment's peace. Doors banged open and shut. Strange voices called to them.
Mom?
The visions persisted. The children were terrorized.
Mom!
The week before Christmas, Danny once again saw something that horrified him.
It's okay. Nobody's here. You're okay.
I've done everything that I can.
Alan had reached his breaking point. He totally lost control and challenged the entity.
I was like a wild man running around in my house, and I couldn't get no control over it.
Come out of there! Show yourself to me!
I started yelling on the top of my voice. I said, whatever in our house, would you please leave my children alone? And if you want to fight, fight with me.
3 weeks later, on January the 7th, Alan Tallman returned home from working the late shift around 2 a.m. Outside the garage, he heard an eerie, howling sound. He went to investigate.
It started out real soft, and then it got real loud. It was a real strong howling wind, but it was quiet outside. And a voice came out of the howling and it says, come here. I ran around the sides of the house looking to see if anybody was there, and I couldn't see nothing. So I went back to the house steps, and the vacuum of the wind started up again. It started out real soft, and it got real loud. And the voice said, come here. And it just kept on saying, come here, come here. And I focused onto the garage door, and I seen a glow. And I run. I got scared, and I ran. And I ran to the house, and I opened the door, and I set my lunch pail on the floor. I locked the door, and I stood there for a brief couple of seconds. And I says, oh, my God, my garage is on fire. And I ran back out on the porch, and I looked towards the garage, and there was nothing. The garage was just as normal as when I came home from work. So I quick went back in the house, and I closed the door and deadbolted the door. And locked the door. After I had the door locked, I reached down to pick up my lunch pail, and this thing hurtled right through the living room.
He came home that night, and he was just running around the room. I mean, literally running. He ran in the bedroom, ran around the bed, ran over to the dresser, threw his keys up on the dresser. I've never seen him like that before.
Alan Tallman began sleeping on the floor of his daughter's room each night. The girls were traumatized and needed help falling asleep.
I started to see this fog starting to appear on the floor, and a voice came out of it, and it says, you're dead.
When he came out of the bedroom, he wouldn't talk to me. His lips were blue. He was so white, you know. I tried to get him to tell me what happened, but all he did was stand there, and tears were running out of his eyes.
He's seen something.
And so I went to the phone, and I called the pastor, and I said, you've got to come over here. I said, something happened, and Alan's crying. I said, and he won't tell me what happened.
When I arrived, Alan was very frightened. He was shaking. He was visibly shaken at what he had seen. Alan gave me no indication at all that he was in any way fabricating what he was telling me. And my sense of that was heightened by the fact that I've been with people before who had described things similar to what Alan was describing. And his fear and terror at what he had seen was very similar to what I had seen before.
A few days later, Alan was working late. He asked a relative of his to watch over the two girls until they fell asleep. Alan's relative was a complete skeptic. That night, he changed his mind. The same specter appeared.
What is it?
The relative came out of the bedroom, and I said, what happened? And he was scared. I said, where's the baby? He goes back in the bedroom. I said, get her. I said, we are leaving this house. I said, I am never coming back to this house. I said, I don't care. I said, I have had it. I can't handle this no more.
That night, Debbie fled from the house she had thought would be her dream home.
Oh, hurry up! Run!
Ah. 2 weeks after they fled their home, Alan and Debbie Tallman had the bunk bed destroyed.
Hemingway. That was some destruction.
After we left the house, everybody asked us, can this follow you? I never thought it could happen the first time. So I don't know if this is the end of the story.
The Tallmans have moved to another city now, and so far they've experienced no paranormal phenomena. A new family moved into the Tallmans' house last April, and they've had no problems. Perhaps in the world of spirits, as well as in the world of human beings, it is possible simply to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh goodness.
There you go.
Man, when they had those bunk beds destroyed, they spared no expense.
Do you think that was the actual bunk bed, or did they spring in their budget to get another bunk bed and run it over just for the shot?
I got the feeling it just looked like some 2x4s.
And that's true. They might have been like, get some wood and say it's a bunk. We'll get the shot like this.
Because with that shot, I was like, oh my God, they leveled the house. Oh, it was the bunk bed.
I'm watching this thing, and it's just, you know, I remember watching it the first time I ever saw it. But the way they talk is so Wisconsin. And I'm sitting here going, okay, I've got relatives who talk like that. I know that when I'm around family members who talk like that, I dip into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I says, my garage is on fire. I says,
well, they took out the, so I got in the house, I says, and I got, put the lunchbox down, and I popped open a cold one, and then I realized, oh shit, the garage is on fire. And I went out there and there was nothing there. Nothing there. I'm like, I saw Lenny across the street. So we started talking about the Packers a little bit.
Did this happen like near where you live?
Yeah. Yeah. So like Todd could have been one of those voices on that radio that was tuning.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Because when it happened, was it like the talk of the town and the county, the tri-state?
I don't know that we really knew about it until it came out on TV.
Yeah. And then everybody's talking about it.
Then everybody was talking about it. But, you know, back then there was no social media and stuff like that. So unless people in the town were talking, which I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
You know,
or had you gotten Ed and Lorraine Warren involved?
That's right.
I was 8. So I was talking about it when I was pretending to be on the radio station he was really on.
Which is so adorable.
I just remember being really, really scared. Again, it was the Amityville Horror. That story freaked the hell out of me because it was so close to home.
Mm-hmm. And this one really, they played it up as dark. And demonic. I still don't know why he's painting in the dark.
Really dark.
But I mean, yeah, I want to know. I've never looked up like the priest guy for, who knew that the Lutheran church in town had like an exorcist.
Yeah, and he looked kind of like the local funeral director
in Horicon, Wisconsin. They had an exorcist Lutheran pastor apparently in the 90s. I remember this. I was not allowed to go to it because I was too young, but I don't know if it was that pastor, but it was somebody that was involved in that story that came to our church in Fond du Lac that talked about this. And it was like, it was not a church service or anything. It was just like a little presentation, like on a Thursday night or something. I remember my mom went to it and I was like, I really want to go to this. And she's like, no, you can just watch Unsolved Mysteries at home. And
no, but I want to meet them.
But I found it interesting that like at our church, they had somebody that came to have a presentation about the paranormal. Just, I don't know. I found that interesting that it was like, I guess, kind of like, I don't know. They never were like, ooh, that's not real at my little Lutheran church that I went to as a kid. It wasn't all like, you know, I think somewhere it's like, it's all demons or whatever. You know, that's what you hear in some of them, but
1986. And that's what this pastor was saying too, right? That it was demonic. Right away, they go to that demonic thing because there can't be good spirits except for the Holy Spirit.
They sure didn't seem very good. That's to be real.
Did they check the blood alcohol level of anyone?
Well, it is Wisconsin, so it'd be high anyway. Here's the thing. If a bad spirit is going to come into your house, I don't think putting the brush in upside down in a paint can is really going to be what Beelzebul is going to do. You know, can you imagine?
That's demonic as shit. You know, when you get the brush in the upside down position, that's
like, I honest to God thought he was going to go downstairs and it would say something about I heart Satan or something.
Right.
It was an upside down. I thought it was going to be painted on the wall. And I was
there
like,
was. Okay. There was a case like that we've covered on the Grave Talks, and I interviewed the guy like twice, and he's a really entertaining interview, but he was also on an episode of Ghost Adventures, and it's like an episode that they look back on, and I think even the Ghost Adventures people go, this guy's full of shit. Where it was like there was like writing on the walls that it was shit like that, like this is Satan or something. And it was so clearly done in like a black Sharpie. But the guy is so into his story. And it's just like saying, like, I think this guy believes his story, like really hardcore, but all the things that were done, like they tried to debunk it on Ghost Adventures, I believe. And I've watched that show like again, five times in my life. And I know this is what we do for a living, but I watched that episode. That was rather interesting. But they tried to debunk him, but then he came back with this whole, he has like written some books about it, that it's how that was all, you know, that was for TV, that they were lying and this is really happening. I got to look that one up. It's entertaining. It's over on the Grave Talks. There's probably some people who know what I'm talking about right now. But I forgot his name. It's been years. Anyway, there you go. I think that'll wrap up the program for the evening. If you guys want to share your ghost stories, you can do it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Nobody expected to watch an old episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
I did not.
I did not see that coming tonight, but I love Robert Stack's delivery.
Oh, God.
But I'm glad you explained the Queen Mary thing, because I'm like, why is he walking down a random flight of stairs?
Because that was a very special. I watched that episode live. Or, I'm sure it wasn't live, but it was a very special edition of Unsolved Mysteries. It was all ghost stories on that episode, and he hosted it live on the Queen Mary. It was like their Halloween special in, I don't know, 88 or something.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And I hope those people don't buy, like, you'd never buy another damn bunk bed after that.
No. I've ever since I've seen a bunk bed for my entire life, that's what I think of, is that episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
I know. Right? I'm watching that story going, I'm so glad I don't sleep in a bunk bed.
Every time I see a well, I think of Rescue 911 and them pulling a child out of it or something. Every time I see a railroad crossing, I think of an episode of Rescue 911 and somebody being ripped out of the jaws of a train. Every time, shit, like all I think of is trauma from Rescue 911 and Unsolved Mysteries.
Good God.
I know what it was all about.
I think you have like a whole generation of 90s and 80s kids that are traumatized from those shows and are very, very cautious and have their minds blown at just how uncautious children are today.
Absolutely. Like we lived through that.
Yeah.
We're used to, and as you said, and as we were watching it, 80s dads like, there's nothing going on. Get your ass out of bed. You know, it's like, okay.
My son just came to me crying with this horrible story. I'll just get rid of his fucking radio. That's where you're going to be. It's going to be like that. Good.
I don't want the radio in here.
It's going to be like that.
You, Dad.
Coming to me and trusting me to help him with emotional trauma. I don't do that shit. Anyway, there you go. Send us your ghost stories. We would love to hear them, see them, read them, and join us again every single Monday night live here starting at 8 p.m. Central for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.